He was very upright in his bearing, and from his hat, flattened white hair, and general appearance, I estimated him to be no younger than his late 60s. I am usually well disposed to my fellow man, but though he presented every sign of respectability, Holmes's words had tempered my thoughts. I wondered if I might be meeting with a murderer.
"It is good of you to see me, Mr. Holmes," said Greyfellow, stooping across the room to where Holmes had risen from his chair.
They shook hands, and Holmes introduced me as his friend and associate. His hand was cold, and Holmes motioned him to warm himself at the fire. He did so eagerly.
"I have the answers, Mr. Holmes, to the questions you sent me."
Holmes forestalled our visitor with a gesture.
"You have had ample time to tidy yourself on the train, Reverend. But faint traces of mud still remain on the hem of your trousers. You must have made an arduous and early start to your journey by bicycle. Before we begin, I have asked Mrs. Hudson to provide some tea. Also, I should like Watson to hear the whole of your tale. I find his insight and opinions of great value."
Thus, a few minutes later, having discussed the bitterness of the winter weather, we were settled around a low table with tea and a stacked plate of warm muffins.
"You are something of a horologist, I understand," said Holmes.
Greyfellow nodded with enthusiasm.
"I confess, sir, I have a passion for clocks and the measurement of time."
He gave an abashed chuckle.
"Indeed, I am currently renovating the chiming mechanism of the church clock. My housekeeper, Mrs. Burns, despairs over the collection of rusty cogs and gears taking up much of the rectory kitchen table."
Holmes produced his pocket watch.
"I subscribe," he said, "to the Belleville family's time verification service. Perhaps you've heard of it. They verify a timepiece in Greenwich each day, then send on the correct time to their subscribers. It is astonishing the variation that can occur, even in the metropolis."
Greyfellow produced his own watch and held it out for inspection. Holmes studied it keenly.
"They tally almost to the second," said Holmes.
"The correct time is telegraphed to the station at Lewes each day," said Greyfellow. "It was from Lewes that I caught the train this morning. I naturally adjusted my watch, which had come adrift by some 20 seconds.
"Even quality timepieces vary in their accuracy," said Holmes. "You mention in your letter an arrangement you have to keep the correct time in Dean's Hollow, despite its remoteness. I wonder, would you be so kind as to explain this to Dr. Watson?"
"Well, it is really quite simple," said Greyfellow, turning to me. "At 1 o'clock each afternoon, the station at Lewes receives the correct time by telegraph signal. Dean's Hollow, I'm afraid, boasts no such connection. No railway, nor indeed anything you might consider to be a proper road. There are unmaintained cart tracks which connect to neighbouring farms and a couple of circuitous routes into Lewes, the nearest town."
"How far away is Lewes?" I asked. Greyfellow considered.
"As the crow flies, I'd say approximately 9 miles. The downs, however, do not permit a direct path. There is a rise, known locally as Copse Hill, which the cart tracks are forced to circumvent. The quickest route is to the west of the hill. This takes about an hour, and that by cart over rough ground."
Holmes waved Greyfellow to continue.
"Practically the only contact Dean's Hollow has with the wider world is the weekly trip made by Tom Carter. Carter by profession as well as by name. He also helps out in the village shop, which is owned and managed by his wife, Mrs. Poppy Carter. Every Tuesday, Tom takes his cart into Lewes for stocking up the shop, delivering or collecting any post and any other miscellaneous requirements. At 1 o'clock, he sets his pocket watch by the station telegraph signal and so returns with the correct time. I then adjust the clock in the church tower, ensuring that Dean's Hollow remains in synchronization with the rest of the country."
"Then the residents take the time from the church clock," I reasoned.
"Few people in Dean's Hollow have their own timepieces, Dr. Watson," said Greyfellow. "But those